We're joined with Billy and welcome everybody out. We're happy for the presence of all. I invite you to get your Bibles and open to the book of Mark, chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 will be the basis of our study here as we'll springboard into our thoughts and our study here today. If you have any questions of anything that is taught or anything that is practiced or not practiced, feel free to call it to our attention. In the book of Mark, chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarene." Now, just to give you a proximity of where we're talking about, the sea, been the Sea of Galilee. Gadarenes is the country of the Gerasenes. It's the same, but the spelling's different. And it's near this town of Gadara. Gadarenes are near the town of Gadara, which is about 7 or 8 miles from the Sea of Galilee. Begin to get into the hills over here. From the Sea of Galilee, as he'll surround the sea there. But that's where this event's going to take place, of what's going to transpire here in Mark, the 5th chapter. In verse 2 it says, "And when he would come up out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit." That is, this demon, this demonic spirit that had overtaken him. It says, "who had his dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him, no, not with a chain, not with chains." So these people that were had demonic spirits, they were like superhuman. They could just break chains asunder. Just very strong. In verse 4 it says, "because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him," "and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and saying, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not.'" I think the demons were well aware of their ultimate destiny of eternal destruction and the torment that would come. And so he's pleading not to be tormented. He said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." So it wasn't just one demonic spirit. There were many demonic spirits within this man. And besought him how much he would not send away. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was now under the mountains a great herd of pigs feeding. And all the demons besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, into the pigs, that we may enter into them." Forthwith Jesus gave them leave, that is, he gave permission. He granted these unclean spirits to come into the swine, to the pigs. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the pigs, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. And there were about 2,000 of those pigs, and they choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what was done. I mean, this is quite an unusual event. And here you've got these pigs out here, and they're just feeding and grubbing around for food, and all of a sudden they just start running into the Sea of Galilee, and they just all drowned out there. It's just highly unusual, just extraordinary, these events that's transpiring here. Verse 15, "And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the demon, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid." Now, if you look at the parallel account, Luke chapter 8, it says that he wore no clothes while he was demon-possessed. And, of course, an interesting thought is that after the demon possession was gone, he's sitting in his right mind and he's now clothed. So when we're not wearing our clothes out in public, it means that we're not in our right mind. But if we're in our right mind, we're going to be wearing our clothes like normal moral people should be doing. Verse 16. "They that saw it told them how it befell to him what was possessed with the demon, and also concerning the pigs, the swine. And began to pray him to depart out of their coast." I mean, this was just pretty scary, just these kind of events. "And it was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the demon prayed or begged him that he might be with him. Please, Jesus, would you stay here and just hang around for a while? I mean, these other people are sort of terrified by these types of events. Well, the swine, maybe the next thing it'll be the sheep or cows that act in such erratic behavior. And so they're not concerned for Jesus to hang around. But this man that was healed, he's pretty grateful. You can tell he's mighty thankful. So he's begging Jesus to hang around. In verse 19 it says, "Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, didn't permit him, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all the men did marvel." And so our thought is the phrase there, "great things the Lord hath done." And we want to talk about that. I asked Chris to lead that, "to God be the glory," because it talks about great things that the Lord hath done. Because the focus of our lesson as we think about great things that the Lord hath done, and that is on the topic of personal evangelism. It is something that we need to talk about. Great things that the Lord has done and great things that the Lord has done for us. It's like great things that He's done for this man. And we want to talk about this lesson because I know I need it. And we're just going to try to encourage and admonish and to stir up and stimulate in the work of personal evangelism. That is, of spreading the message of the gospel, spreading the good news. Because when you talk about personal, it means that I must do it. If you say personal evangelism, it means that I've got to do it. Somebody can't do it for me. Somebody can't do it for you. So when we talk about personal evangelism, it means that I've got to do it. Each of us can be involved in the work of personal evangelism. And evangelism is just simply a term that means the telling of the good news. Telling the great things about the Lord. Telling about great things that God does for people. And that's what personal evangelism is all about. And that's what we're going to see even as we look at this text of this man that was demon-possessed. And identify his name. He had it named the demons. They're called Legion. That's because there are many. Their name was Legion. But then tells the man that was afflicted with the demon possession. But does talk about this man, what Jesus told him to do. And talks about that he did what Jesus told him to do. That's where we come now to verse 19 and 20. Let's look at that again. The Lord says, "You go home to your friends, your family, your neighbors, you know, people around about from where you are and places that you dwell, and tell them." Well, tell them what? Tell them that there's a ball game coming on? Tell them that the weather's going to turn bad? Tell them that the weather's going to be nice? Tell them about politics? No, don't need to tell them about those things. That's pretty self-evident in the world that we live in. But you tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee and had compassion, had mercy on thee. That's what you go. You go and tell them about the Lord. You go and tell them about the greatness of God. You go there, go and tell them about the power of God. Tell them about what God has done, what God can do, what God's promising to do. And that's the lesson for us that we need to ponder as we look at this example, is that that's what the Lord's asking us to do. Just go tell people about great things the Lord has done. Go tell people about God, what He can do, what He's promising that He will do, and promise what is in the future is going to be about the day of judgment and about eternity. Go tell folks about redemption and salvation. You go tell them about these great things. Well, for this fella, he could tell them about how he was healed. He could tell them how he used to be when the demons were in him, and he was running around without clothes on and acting like a wild man, living in the graveyards and breaking chains asunder, and nobody could tame him. I mean, he could tell them about what he used to be and what Jesus has done for him. He could tell them about the great power of Jesus and tell them about a man named Jesus of Nazareth and what he's done for me and what he preached and what his message was and the great things that the Lord can do for people. That's what he did. He went out. And then it says in verse 20, "And he departed And he just went home and just sat in his house and did nothing. No, he kept it to himself. No, that's not what it says. And he departed and began to publish. He began to proclaim. And this word publish or proclaim is where we get the word herald. And that's the idea of proclaiming. He was a herald. He was out telling people. What was he telling people? Well, he was telling people how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. And that's what God wants us to do. And that's what we're talking about personal evangelism. That's all personal evangelism is all about, is just telling people about the great things of God. Telling people about salvation's in Christ. Telling people that the truth is found in the Scriptures. That we don't have to be bound by human doctrines and denominational dogmas. That we can just simply say, hey, we can go by the Bible and the Bible alone. That's all we need. And that we can enjoy the promises of the gospel and just be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, simply be New Testament Christians. We have to be bound up in sectarianism and denominationalism and the churches of men, that we can be a part of the church that Jesus promised to build. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2 in verses 9 and 10, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. You should show forth the praises." And that word "show forth" comes from the idea to advertise. To be a walking, talking billboard for God. And what are we going to tell people as a walking, talking billboard showing forth what? The praises of God. Showing forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into marvelous light. That God's called me out of darkness. God's offered forgiveness. God's offering salvation. God's offering hope of eternal life. God's out offering rescue from eternal damnation. That there's truth in Christ Jesus. That there is New Testament Christianity that's alive and well. That we can just simply follow the precepts of the wonderful Word of God. Of the true living God. The God that made heaven and earth. That God sent His Son Jesus to die on earth then. That's what personal evangelism is. It's just like this man. Just go telling people great things about God. Just telling and singing the praises of God. In verse 10 he says, "Which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God. Which have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Before you come to God, you're a nobody. Before you come to God, you have no mercy. You come to God, you become somebody. You come to God, you find mercy. And all the implications that's involved in that. Finding mercy is forgiveness. Of salvation. Of getting on the road that leads to heaven. Of the joy, of the hope, of looking for something better beyond this world. Because what this world has to offer is not a whole lot. Ultimately, there are some things that are nice and pleasant about this world, but then there's a lot of things that are not pleasant about this world. But we're looking forward to the world where there are not going to be unpleasant things. There are not going to be death and funeral announcements and announcing people sick and people going to the hospital. Because what we're looking for in Christ Jesus is an eternal inheritance. That is the good things that God has done, and it's all made possible because Jesus died on the cross. And that's what personal evangelism is telling people about this salvation, telling people about the great things that the Lord hath done, and that the Lord can do. The early church, that's exactly what they did. They went out telling people about great things. Just like Jesus told this man that was demon-possessed and was healed, you go out and tell people about great things the Lord hath done for you, and he did that. He went out as a herald, just telling people. In Acts chapter 8, notice there verses 3 and 4, it says, "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing, dragging off men and women, committing them to prison." Them who? Well, the men and women. Who's the men and women? The men and women of the church are being dragged off to prison. Then it says, "Therefore they that were scattered abroad." Well, who was scattered abroad? Well, the church, the men and women. So, really all of us have a part in this work that we're talking about. "Therefore they," the men and women, the members of the church, "therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." They're out telling people of what? About great things that the Lord has done. That's what personal evangelism is. Just telling people about God. Telling people about a Savior. Telling people about redemption. In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, we see the church at Thessalonica, that they were involved in this work of telling people. In verse 7 and 8 it says, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you, from who? The Thessalonians. Who were the Thessalonians? Well, it's the local congregation there made up of brothers and sisters. And from you sounded out. They were trumpeting out. They were heralding forth, proclaiming forth, sounding out, making known, just telling people about the word of the Lord, telling people about the great things that God has done. They sound out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith of God were to spread abroad so that we need not speak anything. And then notice there in the book of Philippians chapter 1, we see the early saints involved in spreading the good news. That's what gospel means, good news. Well, what's the good news that we have? Salvation, the blood of Christ, great things that the Lord hath done and will yet do. In Philippians chapter 1, Paul says, while he is under arrest, while he is in incarceration, in chains, in bonds, in Rome, Paul says, but I would that you should understand that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather into the furtherance of the gospel. And you think, well, Paul's incarcerated. Well, that's bad. I mean, he's gone preaching all these different places, all these different cities, and all these different situations, teaching and converting people. And this is bad. Well, so now wait a minute. Hey, there's some good things that have come from this. Me being arrested and going into incarceration there in Rome. He says, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and all other places. See, number one thing that happened is that people in the palace. Do you think Paul, while he was a free man, would have went to the palace and said, you know, I'd like to preach to these people here, that he would have had the opportunity? Probably not. But because he was arrested, and there he was in the midst of these people, he used it as an occasion to teach people there at the palace, there in Rome. He just, when life gave him lemonade, he made lemonade out of it. That's the point that we need to see. That he took the situation that he was in, and he manifested the knowledge of Christ to those that were there. Even though that he was under arrest. It wasn't because he was a murderer, it wasn't because he was a thief, it wasn't because he burned houses down, and because he went out killing people. It was because he was a Christian, because he believed in Jesus Christ, because he was a follower of Christ, and he just made that known. That he was still thankful, and that he had been forgiven, and that God has great things in store for all who will come unto him. That's what Paul made known. He was telling the good news. And then Paul says in verse 14, and many of the brethren of the Lord waxing confident about my bonds. And I got thinking, well, now if Paul could continue to have good attitude and just keep speaking and talking to people about the message of the gospel while he was in bond, well, what about us who are, you know, we're not in bond? Well, it just gave them confidence and are much more bold to speak the word without fear. It gave them courage to just speak out. And just tell people about it. Go and tell your friends. That's what Jesus is asking to do. That's all personal evangelism is. You just go and tell the friends and neighbors and co-workers, etc., about great things that the Lord hath done. That's what personal evangelism is telling about the great things of God. And in fact, the early church, they told the whole world. We read there in Romans, the 10th chapter there, in Romans chapter 10, verses 17 and 18, Paul says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Verse 18, but I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, yes, truly their sound went into all the world, and their words into the end of the earth. Paul said, people's got to hear. Well, did everybody hear? Well, yeah, everybody heard according to Paul. And then look there in the book of Colossians chapter 1, in Colossians chapter 1, and in verse 23, Paul says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So all the early church, they did just like this man that was demon-possessed. They went and were telling people about this message, telling about the great things that the Lord hath done. The early church were doing it, and they did a pretty good job of it because they told the whole world. They told every creature. The message got spread abroad. Keep in mind, they had no telephones. They had no cell phones. They had no texting. They didn't have Facebook. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have email. They didn't have a lot of the mass modern communications like we have, but they still got the job done because they just simply were telling people and spreading the message of the gospel round about. That's what personal evangelism is. It's just telling people about the message of the gospel. Telling people about the great things that God has in store for those that serve Him. Telling them about the truth. Telling them about the Word of the Lord and about great things that the Lord has done. But we think, well, you know, people might reject.
Well, yeah, they will.
In Romans chapter 10. Let's go back and look at that text now. Let's back up to verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? Not everybody's going to obey. Paul said, well, yeah, that's right, because Isaiah talked about that from Isaiah 52. So then, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, truly, their sound went into all the earth, and the words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found of them that sought me not, and I was made manifest to them that asked not after me. But to Israel he said, all day long have I stretched forth my hand unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. And just write it down, they're still disobedient and gainsaying people today. Gainsaying means to speak against. There are people that speak against God. Just write it down. They're going to be people going to reject. Our responsibility is just go tell. Now, that's what Jesus says. We're to be seed sowers. We're not soil testers. It's not our job to test the soil. Say, well, you know, we just sort of size up somebody. We sort of look at this lady or we look at this man and say, well, man, I think they might be interested in the gospel. Not for me to decide. I don't think they'll be interested. I think they're so caught up in drinking and booze and smoking cigarettes and all this stuff. I'm not going to waste my time with them. Not for us to decide. For us to just talk to people. Our job is to be seed sowers, is to tell people about great things that the Lord has done, the great things that the Lord can do in their lives. That'll be their choice whether they want to accept or not. That's our job, is simply to spread the message, just to spread the news. And then it'll be their job and their responsibility, and the Word of God will reveal whether they want to accept or reject. The majority is going to reject. That's in chapter 7, 13 and 14. Identifies that. And so just be aware that we go out talking to people. Majority are going to reject. In the end, at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way which leadeth unto destruction, and many. You notice that many there be which go in therein. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So the few are going to accept, the majority are going to reject. We just quit? Well, no. Just keep talking. Just keep proclaiming. Just keep heralding. Keep telling people. Keep telling friends. Keep telling family that there's a Savior. There's redemption. There's the truth to be found in Christ Jesus. That Christ is the Savior. He's not a Savior. He is the Savior. It's not a way, it's the way. And tell people there's great things in Christ Jesus. We'll just come to Him and accept His truth. There's wonderful grace and mercy. From being a nobody, you can become somebody. From one who has no mercy, you can obtain mercy. From one who is unforgiven, now you can be forgiven. One who is walking in darkness, now can walk in light. So tell people about it. That's what personal evangelism is. Telling people great things that the Lord hath done. And even though they may reject, we just keep preaching because it's still the truth. And we speak because of conviction. Notice there in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 there. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, notice there in verse 13, as soon as I get it here, it says, we have the same spirit of faith. Well, what same spirit of faith do you have, Paul, according as it is written? So now he's going to quote the Old Testament. I believe, and therefore have I spoken. See, the psalmist said, I believe, therefore I speak. I speak because of my faith. Paul said, we also believe, and therefore we speak. We speak because we believe it. The question is, well, do we really believe it, that the Lord has done great things? Do we believe that God offers great things? Do we believe that the truth is in Christ Jesus, that there is a New Testament church that's not wound up and bound up by human dogma and denominational traditions, that we're trying to follow New Testament Christianity and to follow the great things that God has done?
Well, we speak out of conviction when we know it's true and what it's right.
It's interesting in the denominational world. They're very bold to speak and enter into debate on things that they're convinced is true.
I mentioned in the bulletin about this upcoming debate coming up next Tuesday between Bill Nye, the science guy from PBS, who is, I don't know if he's agnostic or atheist, but he denies the whole idea of creation that we got here by the general theory of evolution is his explanation of the world. And that he says, well, if you want to believe it, it's okay, but don't teach your kids that, because it's going to stifle them to teach them about creation, which is crazy. But anyway, he's going to debate the fellow that runs the Ken Ham, that runs the Creation Museum up here in Northern Kentucky. So these guys are very bold. They're ready to jump up and debate because they do. They have the truth that God created the world. That is the truth. That is the reasonable and rational explanation of the world that we live in. And very bold. But now, if you debated on some other biblical doctrines, like, well, they're not too keen to jump up and defend that. You know, salvation by faith only. Baptism has nothing to do with salvation. Once saved, always saved. Some of these other denominational dogmas, they're not interested in debating that, but well, they'll jump into the debate with an agnostic. Why? Because, well, they know that they have the truth, because that is the truth, that the world was created by God. It didn't come here by blind chance and dumb luck. And so we speak out of conviction. In Jeremiah chapter 20, in verse 7, Jeremiah says, O Lord, thou hast deceived me or persuaded me, and I was persuaded. Thou art stronger than I, and prevailed, and I am derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. So Jeremiah was out proclaiming the great things, proclaiming the word of the Lord, and telling people what was right, telling people this is the will of the Lord, and it wasn't very popular. It was a message nobody really wanted to hear. And so they just made fun of him, they persecuted him, they're in prison, etc. And Jeremiah says, for since I spake, I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me, and derision daily. They just made fun, daily they made fun of me. I mean, they just laughed at me because what I was teaching about destruction that was coming from the Babylonians, and that we need to flee to the Lord, and they just made fun. In verse 9, then said I, well, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. So I said, well, I'm just quitting. I'm just going to keep it to myself. I'm just not going to say any more about it. But then he says, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. He got to the point that, well, they just about beat him into the ground. He said he's just going to quit preaching. He's just going to quit telling people about the word of the Lord. Well, then that wasn't the solution. Because he knew that was the truth, and the word of the Lord was like a fire shut in his bowels and in his heart. And he said, no, I'm just going to go ahead and preach it anyway. And that's our responsibility, is to tell people. And if people reject it, it's not going to be your fault. And if they make fun, don't worry about it. That's par for the course. They made fun of the Lord too. They made light of him. But just keep preaching, because there are some out there that are interested in the truth. Because you see, the power, ladies and gentlemen, is in the Word. Not in us. It's not because we're something. It's not because we're highly educated. It's not because we have the gift of gab or very eloquent. The power, ladies and gentlemen, resides in the Word. Notice the language that Paul uses there in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 there in verse 5, Paul says, for we preach not ourselves. Paul wasn't out proclaiming Paul. Paul wasn't, well, I want to talk to you about Paul. No, I want to talk to you about Jesus. We're talking about Christ. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves, we're talking about ourselves. Okay, well, we'll be your servants. You know, we're willing to sacrifice, do whatever we can to help. You know, we want to enslave ourselves to you, to serve you. Ourselves, your servants, for Christ's sake. For God has commanded the light to shine out of darkness, and has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You see, Paul was just a clay pot. And the treasure was not the clay pot. The treasure was what was in the clay pot. Paul said, I'm just a clay pot. The treasure is the gospel that I have in my heart that I'm just trying to tell other people about. That's where the treasure, that's where the real value is at. That's where the power resides. As Paul would say in Romans 1 verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why, Paul? Because it is the power of God unto salvation. What's the power of God unto salvation? Well, the gospel of Christ. So what's valuable and what the treasure and where the power resides is not in us and our innate abilities and talents that we have. The treasure and the power resides in the Word. And when you're just telling people about the Word of God, telling people about the Bible, that's where the power resides. It's within Christ. That's what personal evangelism is. It's not because we're powerful or that we're very eloquent and very quick in thinking and speaking, or just simply talking about the Lord and about His Word, His will. That's what evangelism is. And we seek the Lord's help. Jesus says we should pray for laborers. Look there in Matthew, the 9th chapter there, in Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38. In Matthew chapter 9, 37 and 38, Jesus says to the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into the harvest. And then notice there in Colossians chapter 4, I mean, we're talking about Paul in this text in Colossians chapter 4, and listen to what Paul has to say. In Colossians chapter 4, he says there in verse 2, continue in prayer and watch the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us. I mean, Paul, the apostle, Paul saying, you pray for us? Yeah, Paul said, you pray for us. Now, Paul needed prayer. Certainly we need prayers. And we need to seek the Lord's help. Paul says, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Lord, help me to say the right things. Help me to have the courage. Help me just talk about the Lord. Talk about the great things that God has said. Talk about the Scriptures. Talk about the Word of God. Put the Word of God out there, because that's where the power resides. It doesn't reside in my thinking or my ability and who I am. But it resides in the power of Christ and the great things that God has done. So how do we do it? Well, what are the magic words? I'm going to give that. That's going to be the last point. The magic words in this whole thing of personal evangelism. We're up in Lexington back last fall, it was kind of in the summer. And anyway, they had a guest speaker there that was actually talking about this whole work of personal evangelism. And this fellow was very effective in teaching, taught a lot of people, and gave all kinds of examples. But he made a great point talking about, well, what are the magic words that we use? And I've thought a lot about it. And I've seen it. It works. Here's the magic words in personal evangelism. Would you like to study the Bible? It's that simple. Just, would you like to study the Bible? There are a lot of people out there. If somebody just asked them, they'd study. It happened. Those are the magic words. And when we talk with people about the Lord, talk people about the Bible, and talk people about the great things that God has done, it comes back that ultimately that the power is in the Word. So would you like to study the Bible? And I think we'll probably surprise ourselves if we just open our mouth and say, well, would you like to study the Bible? So, well, I don't know if I could teach. Don't worry. We've got plenty of folks here that could conduct classes. I'm always ready and available.
to see if people are interested, and we'll try to figure out some arrangement, no doubt, in studying the Bible. But those are the magic words. Would you like to study the Bible? And I think if we're all get busy and just asking people about studying, there's going to be a lot of people going to reject. There's going to be people going to make excuses. There's going to be people say, yeah, I'd like to, or I don't have time, or maybe in the future. But, you know, there's going to be some people out there that will want to study. Would you like to study the Bible? Those are the magic words. We extend the invitation of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because really the whole work of personal evangelism or public evangelism is just this, that people would be saved. That's what it's all about, is seeing people saved, come to the knowledge of truth, come to obedience to the gospel. And the only way they're going to do it, they're going to have to hear about it, they're going to have to learn about it, and then get the information, and then they can make the decision to believe and obey it. But they can't come and obey what they don't know. They can't follow the Lord if they don't know how to follow Him. And so that's what evangelism is all about, is just instructing and sharing the message of the gospel, the great things that the Lord hath done. If you're here and you've never obeyed the gospel and the first principle to become a Christian, there they are. To hear the gospel of Christ, believe in Jesus, the Son of God, repent and turn to God and repent and confess Jesus before men and be baptized into Christ. Those are the steps that you read about in the Bible. Sectarian world, they don't teach that, but in the Bible, that's what's taught. That's all we're interested in. What does the Bible say? What does God say about it? I followed the denominational pattern, and then when I studied the Bible, I was like, well, I didn't do it right, so then I just did what the Lord said. Feel good about it. Feel confident about it. Why? Because I can look in the Bible and say, well, I just did exactly what the Lord said. And if you haven't done what the Lord said, you're going to have to have honesty in yourself and say, well, you know, I didn't do it exactly that way. Well, then you didn't do exactly what the Lord said. But God can do great things if you just step out on faith and obedience and say, you know, I just want to do what the Lord says. And then just grow and be faithful. And if you do err, you take a lot of pardon, repentance, and prayer. We're going to sing this song, you encourage me. If there's one here that needs to obey the gospel, we can help you in any way. Come and let us know while together as we stand and as we sing.